Let's freaking go! Are you kidding me? One of my favorite LSU Tigers of all time. It's going to be okay. Emory Jones to the NFL draft. Emory, I'm going to miss you so freaking much. Ugh. Goodness gracious, he's gone. But in the minds of many, a lot of you are excited that Sage Ryan is gone. We're also going to talk about Deshaun Womack's very interesting school choice. Really? Ole Miss? But I want to start with Emory Jones. Obviously, like Will Campbell, three-year starter on the offensive line. Obviously, Will started a few extra games as Emory missed a few more with injury, and he didn't start until game number three in that first season. But what an Iron Man for LSU football. Obviously, it's the dream to play high school football in Baton Rouge, play college football for LSU, start all three seasons, and make millions in the NFL draft. One of my bolder takes is there could be a world where Emory Jones is selected ahead of Will Campbell in next year's NFL draft, which I don't think will happen, but I could see a world where that happens because Emory is so unfreaking believably gifted. And I think actually both of them have a chance to slide in and actually play guard at the next level. So really amazing career for a guy who started his LSU career as a left guard, played high school football at left tackle, and in game number three, he is starting at right tackle as a fall enrollee and never relinquished that starting spot, even though there were some threats, right, with Lance Hurd and a few other very talented players and high-level recruits. And Emory Jones is an unfreaking believable talent. So obviously really excited, but also really sad at the same time. Sage Ryan, gone. And look, I wish that he were to go to one of the teams that we played next year, because that's how inconsistent Sage Ryan was. You know, I'm always going to love every LSU Tiger. He didn't do anything like negative in terms of really nefarious off the field. But LSU's decision to bring him back when he entered the transfer portal last year was, to me, one of the most perplexing decisions I've ever seen an LSU Tiger make. So there you go. Now, Deshaun Womack to Ole Miss, obviously not a move that I was expecting from him. I'm also a little shocked that Ole Miss made this move with a guy who's done so little. But Deshaun Womack did start to play better as the season moved on. I was a little shocked at how things ended for him at LSU. I don't know exactly what even happened off the field for him to be basically a healthy scratch in the last three games of the season, but it happened. The former top 100 recruit is now an Ole Miss Rebel, and it goes to show you that 2023 recruiting class was really, really, really tough on LSU. Now, we get into a little personal thing. Okay. You guys know I love you. You know it. So we normally do Thursday nights at 5. But like last time, we had to push a live stream back. And like tonight, we had to push a live stream back. And I'm shocked there are as many of you in here now at a 10 p.m. stream. I don't like doing that, right? Because the way it was going to work out was I was going to do a 5 p.m. stream before my college basketball doubleheader that I had to call tonight. I was going to do it from the arena. I had a little setup up there. There were some production issues with our actual stream for the basketball game. So had to tend to those. And then obviously I have been on the phone as someone really close to me is going through a very, very, very serious health situation. My father-in-law, who is one of my closest family members, even though we don't share the same bloodline I've ever had. So he is very ill. And like I've stated, the schedule and just overall content schedule is going to be all over the place because I'm going to have to change times because I'm on the phone, obviously, with my family, I'm on the phone with doctors and there is a travel problem here, because he is in. This is always the case when someone's having a serious health issue. He's 2 hours away from me right now. So it's tough. You know, I have to make money. I have to keep the lights on. And we're trying to determine what the best course of action is. So, but yeah. So I know a lot of you are very religious. And even if you're not religious, I hope your thoughts and positive vibes go a long way. And yeah, here's the thing, though. I didn't want to do a show, but he would be furious if I canceled anything for him. So won't go too long tonight, but there you go. So that's why the live stream had to be pushed back. Last night we had to, you know, go up there and then wait and make sure you got into the right room and all that stuff. And then that's why I had to move it back today. Because I had set up a basketball arena, and you know, obviously, you know, we're dealing with some production stuff with our broadcast. And Jared watches our broadcast. We try to do the best with everything that we have. So I take that very seriously. So I do extra prep and all that stuff. And then I was getting ready to do my show. And then obviously, you know, I got a phone call that I have to take. So if live streams end abruptly, if, you know, shows just get canceled, just know that's the reason. Yeah, there's nothing that you guys know that if I'm not doing a show, I feel weird. I even offered to do a live stream from the Justin Timberlake show, and I'm really glad I didn't do that. Huh? You guys aren't here for me. That's why I did 3 minutes of all the big stories earlier. Now, we get back into LSU football. I do want to talk a little bit more about LSU's schedule. Okay, so I slept on it, and we really don't know anything about LSU's schedule. We really don't until we see how everything shapes out in this transfer portal. Okay. And by the way, I do want to give a special shout out to all our viewers, Jared, Brian, Tony, Alex, and Gaming Heavy, who was ready for the 5 p.m. show. And then, of course, we had to pull back. Okay. Now, I do want to get into the schedule. And I read, you know, people saying, well, LSU schedule next year is brutal. It is, because Clemson's going to be good. Okay, they're going to be good. We got to go to their place to start the season. Y'all, the schedule is favorable again for LSU. It is. That's the bottom line. It's going to be favorable. Now, the next thing I would say, though, is I don't think you should be worried too much about the schedule itself. Because not only are there going to be a lot of good players and teams, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks. The quarterbacks who can run, that's who all fills LSU's schedule next season. Okay? Lots of good quarterbacks who can run. Here's the thing that you should be worried about. Is, and I'm not striking the fear of anything into any of your hearts right now. There is a real possibility next year that we are not good. Okay, it's just that simple. There is a real possibility that our football team is not a good football team next year. Now, how do I know this? Well, for one, we are losing so many snaps. All right. So let me put it this way. Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., both in their rookie seasons and probably both in their form last year, are just as good, if not better, players than Will Camp or anyone that we're losing. Those were two massive losses. But with our resources at wide receiver and Kyren Lacy and you know, Garrett and the bowl game and all of that, those losses aren't as big as the losses that we have had happen to us in the last 48 hours. I'm sorry. Those are the big losses. Why? Because you don't rotate offensive linemen. So you got to think of it this way. Offensive line snaps are very much a zero-sum game. Wide receivers, they rotate. All right? They rotate. Offensive linemen don't rotate. All right? I'm going to give you a stat. Okay? I'm going to give you a stat here that I think is very, very, very important. All right? Raw snaps. Raw snaps are very, very, very important pieces of data. Okay. For some reason, my PFF isn't pulling up. Oh, well. See, I'm trying to get it. I reach out to, I sent a DM right there to PFF. But I do have a good idea of what the raw stat totals were. Right, so LSU played 884 offensive snaps this year. Emory Jones played 860. Will Campbell played 860. Mason Taylor played roughly 840. Miles Frazier, roughly the same amount. He missed a few snaps here and there for with ding-ups. We also are losing Garrett Dellinger. Okay, while those aren't as many snaps because of his injury, you know, in theory, his injury for the future of LSU football is actually somewhat a good thing because it gave Paul Mbenga some snaps. Now, do we win those games that we lost with Garrett Dellinger? He was that big of a deal. I mean, he was that good when he played. But I don't know. We don't know. All right. But look, I got to be real. One of the biggest data points for Bill Connolly of ESPN, he uses SP Plus. It's his own metric. It's his own analytic that spits out offensive and defensive projections for every team. And the biggest thing that he changed to his formula over the past decade is offensive line snaps. And we are losing literally thousands of snaps. Thousands. Thousands. Just last year. That is insane. That's absolutely insane. So why is that important? Well, here's the thing. Aaron Anderson's breakout this season shocked a lot of us. It shocked me. But Aaron Anderson played some the year before and did some things. Well, you take a look at LSU's wide receiver numbers when it comes to the snap counts. They're in the 600, 650, 700. That's how big of a snap drop off it is. That's how big of a snap drop off it could be for wide receivers. So when offensive linemen leave, it's a big deal. It is an absolutely positively huge deal. So you have to return four of those five players and your tight end. You have to replace those guys. Excuse me. It's not easy to do. You can't really do it in the portal either. It's so hard. So what do you have to do? Well, you got to pay. You got to, you know, even though his PFF grades aren't good, back channel, see if Lance Hurd is interested. And Carvis says Mason Taylor is the biggest loss. He could be. I mean, honestly, he really was that good for us. I mean, he was fantastic this season. His card collection, like the guy with the grail card collection of Mason Taylor of his LSU rookie cards, I think it was for $5,000. Obviously, I don't have $5,000. A lot of it's going to what we're dealing with, what we talked about just a minute ago. But if I didn't have $5,000, I would buy it immediately. That's why I love that guy. And it's going to be hard. Now, why do I say all of that? Well, I would be a little bit more inclined to bring Joe Sloan back if we had Emory Jones coming back or some of our good offensive linemen. But at this juncture, I think LSU is going to talk themselves to running it back with DJ Chester at center. I do think so. Because you want to have something from last year's team to this year's team, right? So look, I am not worried about LSU getting good receivers. Because we got Aaron Anderson. Aaron Anderson might lead the nation in targets, especially if we don't get a running game going and we don't get a deep passing game going. Aaron Anderson might set a 12-game record for targets. I'm serious. But we're going to get good receivers, right? I feel good about Marion Brown. I think he's going to be good for us. You know, Chase mentions that Nick Anderson's visiting. He's good. Nick Anderson's a good football player. He was just very hurt this year. And obviously, Caden Durham is very good. Okay. What if Caden Durham pulls a Caleb Jackson? Now, that was a question we got from one of our patrons, actually. The difference is Caleb really as good as a true freshman as Caden Durham. And Caleb Jackson had a far better environment for a running back to succeed in last year, and Caden Durham did not. Okay. So I understand that sounded like doom and gloom, but if you were to walk up to any person and say, hey, you're losing four of your five offensive linemen and your record setting tight end, what would you say about that team? So something else, you know, they're pursuing, I looked this up like really quickly. They're pursuing a Tulsa tight end as well. You guys know I really want Lukas to come to LSU. I think he's a really good fit for Garrett Nussmeier. And Lukas really wants targets. Garrett's an intermediate guy. We all know that. LSU's a place to go. Okay. So Lukas, if you're watching this, you're a beast. And number two, Garrett's a perfect fit. Now you might get a higher bidder than us, but you want to go to LSU. Okay. Yeah. Here's something else. That I think is very important when it comes to what kind of offense we're going to have next season is I don't think we're in a spot to run it back with our OC. I don't think we're in a spot to do that. I think we do need to make a change here. I don't know, though. I don't know what we're going to do. Jared, I love this joke. Carter, your new favorite play will be Haas Luke. The only you would come up with that dad joke. I freaking love it. Uh-oh. He's in here. Master Blaster. I love it. See you, man. A car six is a good point. If we get Brown and Hilton, we'll finally get to see some big plays. You know, I brought up by TJ in our Discord. You know, I think Kerryius Kern's really good. one of our true freshmen coming in. I really do think Kerry Kern's good. There is growing belief that he can play right away. I do think there is a real world where one of the true freshman offensive linemen start next season. There's a very real world where that happens. Okay? Now, Tony, thank you for the super chat. I really do appreciate it. Solomon Thomas. I'll be honest, I've not watched a whole lot of Solomon Thomas just yet because he was such a late flip. And, you know, I like Kerry's going to know him a little bit, and I think he's going to be a good player. I do. Let's go to Francisco. He says, the offensive line will be fine. We recruited well, 4 and 5 stars. Maybe get one experienced lineman. All right. So let's talk about this on so many different levels because, well, Arkansas's offensive line is being rated. They're a good offensive lineman enter the portal. So there are 3 middle guys all entered the portal, including a center in Addison Nichols, who was a top 150 recruit and was initially signed to play at Tennessee. He's a good player. He's not a great player. He's a good player, though. I think he would be a pretty big upgrade at center. Jared, thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate you. Appreciate your friendship. Tony, don't leave yet. I know it's late. You got to get up and bowl. But look, I would be interested in pursuing some of those Arkansas guys. Now, obviously, Brad doesn't have any real relationship with those players because he's been at LSU for so long now. I remember Brad Davis is the only coach from the Orgeron regime still on staff. Obviously, that's not true with Baker and Corey, but he's – you get the point I was trying to make. Okay. Now, let's go to Rax TV. Do I think Juwan Johnson is leaving? I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on any other players entering the portal. I will say the Juwan Johnson situation is weird, to say the least. Let me see here. Let's go to Tiger Boy Luck. Do you think we can get CJ back? And how do I feel about DJ Chester's year 2? Do I think we can get CJ Daniels back? No. But I'd love to have him back. He has some rapport with Garrett Nussmeier. Okay.
How do I feel about DJ Chester's year 2?
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, it was just really tough this year. And I will say this until I'm blue in the face. Okay. It had nothing to do with him personally. It really, really, really doesn't. Now, I know it doesn't make it any easier when, you know, on here saying, man, it was so tough this year at center. But that's not on him. All right. It really isn't on him. All right. So let's take a player who turned into something very good in Kyren Lacy, who had a very tough start to his career. Kyren Lacy had a very, very, very tough start to his career with drops. But here's the thing with dropping the football. If you drop the football, I'm just going to bench you. I could put another receiver in who won't drop wide open passes. So Kyren's growth, yeah, drops can stunt your growth. But it's just not something that really hurts the team as much as keeping an offensive lineman on the field every single snap and him continually continuing to struggle. So that is what really concerned me, is that we didn't really have any other option. Because I would like to think if we had another option, we would have exhausted that option. Okay.
So there you go.
But yeah, I don't know about CJ Daniels.
Go to Peggy, one of PHL's biggest supporters.
People saying Haas, maybe Ole Miss.
Yeah, because Arkansas.
A lot of Arkansas players do transfer to Ole Miss. So take that for what it's worth. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. It very well could happen. But obviously, if I'm LSU, I'm doing whatever I can to get it. Okay. But here's a weird thing is just to get some momentum going, let's just be the highest bidder. Let's just show the world that we can do it.
Now, let's go to Elijah Benoit. He says, off-season workouts will be the biggest key to success of next year's team.
Welcome to the channel, Elijah. Y'all show Elijah some love. It's not true. Sorry. It's not true.
Because, look, off-season workouts this past year was fine. Like, really think about
how many snaps LSU's superstars
had this season.
And only one of them had a season-ending injury on the offensive side of the football.
Now, defensively, we had quite a bit. But we had so many Ironmen play a lot of snaps. Never did we sub them out. And we kept chugging along. But yes, could our team be bigger, faster, stronger? Sure. But I don't know enough about exercise science to say if we need a change there or if we need to do better in that department.
Okay.
Let's go to Bryce Burks. He says, we need to bring Kendrick Law back home. Yes, it would be very nice to bring a Louisiana four-star back home. But this is part of the problem, Bryce.
And I think it is a big problem.
That profile of a player has mostly not been successful for LSU. Bringing home the top 150 four-star Louisiana native who didn't do anything at their last stop. Kendrick Law didn't do anything in Alabama. Sorry. A few good plays here and there, sure. He had a few moments of brilliance. So it's not quite the same as some of these other guys. But I don't know if I'd even put Kendrick Law in like my top 20 players that I would consider to be need at this point.
Okay.
We need a Thaddeus Moss. Okay. One thing. Since I shared a health information about one of my family members, okay,
dude, I had a conniption with what Larry Fitzgerald's dad said about Randy Moss this weekend. Allegedly,
and Randy Moss has a bad illness, so I ain't going to say it aloud. Y'all, let the family announce health stuff, right? Like, that was obviously my family member. I'm never going to break a health, like, serious health-related news story regarding someone. It's just not – I don't break stories anyway. Now, if it's, like, a hamstring and whatever, yeah, sure. But I'll tell you, I was one of the first people to hear about CJ Daniels' injury. It's just not that big a deal. Like, if it is like a football player sprained ankle, and I happen to get the news, sure, maybe. That series, I mean, that's like very highly confidential stuff. It's crazy. But it would be nice to get to know that Thaddeus Moss, obviously Thaddeus Moss, phenomenal player. Phenomenal player. So this is what I would do with DJ Chester. Okay, and Jared is a great football mind. I honestly would do this. I don't think DJ Chester is bad. He was not good this season. Obviously, I don't ever like to say a player is like just bad, but it was a massive issue. Like, to the point where I was desperately just wanting LSU to try someone else new, just to see if everything works. Okay. And they wouldn't do it. I was so shocked that LSU didn't even try something new. It was, and I'll be honest, out of all the things that went wrong for LSU this season, the thing that felt the most like the Orgeron tenure was that. I do as many film studies and do as many plays in film studies as I possibly can. That, to me, is what stuck out more than anything else. Okay? It's not a big dicks. The big dog is in here. Now, coming up next, what should LSU do with Sage Ryan's departure? I'll give you the God's honest truth right after this.
Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured. It's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured. It's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter.
Shout out to the nooffseason.com network and NOPOD. Okay. There's a lot of lessons to be learned from the Sage Ryan era. Now, the funny thing is the PFF grades actually like Sage a little bit more than like every LSU fan. But PFF is more of a play-to-play kind of thing where Sage Ryan's mistakes, they were big. They were very big. The thing that always perplexed me about Sage is like he was never actually good at any position. It never really worked out. Now, did he have good plays? Yeah, by the sheer volume of snaps he played defensively. But here's the thing that really bothered me about the entire Sage Ryan tenure. Okay. He entered the portal last year. And it wasn't just like enter the portal. He did the vague subtweet. It was some rabbit got your gun or something like that. I don't even know what it was. So there's a piece of him that didn't even want to be here. This is always true, and it will always apply to anything in any walk of life. Whether it's a relationship, a job, a friend, whatever it may be. Don't try to bring back someone who's not worth the effort to bring back. Really let that marinate. If you split up with your girlfriend, boyfriend, and you're like, man, she really was toxic for me. Let me go get her back. You probably shouldn't do it. Really ask yourself, if someone is making the decision to leave and get out of your life, ask yourself if it's really worth it. And the answer is probably no. The answer is probably no. So, you know, that's what really shocked me. But he's gone. So now LSU's got to rebuild its secondary. They should get Jakeem Jackson out of Florida. There's good news from Poyser, the transfer safety from Jacksonville State. As we said in our film study, ZP18. I'm feeling cautiously optimistic about the LSU secondary next season. Obviously, the pressure on Will Campbell to start and be great at left tackle right away, the same amount of pressure is going to be on DJ Pickett. So we'll see. You know, there's also going to be a ridiculous amount of pressure on the 2024 recruiting class. So not the 2025s, but the 2024s. Can you have some year two guys step up and be amazing? Right now, with the way things are going in the transfer portal, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Now, Jared makes a good point. Sage has given the LSU content creators plenty to talk about the last couple seasons. True. You know who else has? Eric Gilbert. And he's back in the transfer portal. He's back in it. Should we bring him back? We need a tight end, right? Biggest joke ever. I do not endorse that at all. I do not. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 10 to 15, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. You know, it was interesting. This was released earlier today by USA Today. LSU has the highest paid, defensive coordinator in college football. But it's not just defensive coordinator. He is the highest paid assistant, Blake Baker, by $200,000 more than Wink Martindale, who gets $2.3 million for Michigan. So Blake Baker at $2.5 million. Okay, just for reference here, I'll show you the full list. Tosh Lupoi, I've never been able to pronounce his last name. I should know it. He's a former Alabama guy. But there are nine coaches. There are only nine coordinators. Now, think about of the 130, if you want to focus on just the power schools, think about the 60 to 70 schools that exist in college football. So that's 120 coordinators. Only 9 of them make $2 million or more. And one of them is our coach, and Blake Baker. Very interesting. We have got to allocate resources to the roster. Blake Baker could very well be Bill Belichick. Doesn't matter if we don't have the dudes. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Now we'll take a few more before we skedat. Yeah, AP. Here's the thing that bothered me. It's not that he wanted $45,000 a month. It's those playing time assurances. Okay, that shit pisses me off. I'm not gonna lie. Earn your playing time. Be so undeniably good. And he's a good player. Be so undeniably good, I can't take you off the field. Tyree Adams is very interesting. Jay Madison says, Sage needs to be in a 2011 type secondary. Just give us depth. I don't think. And I'm on one tonight. And Jay Madison, you know I love you, man. Those two words should never be in the same sentence. Sage and arguably the best college football secondary ever. Sage needs to be in a 2011 type secondary. And as what? To hand them water? Scout team? All right, we're talking about the good, the single greatest secondary we may have ever seen in college football. You think he should be a depth piece for that? I was trying to understand this comment. I wish Brandon Taylor could read this and get his reaction. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the number 6 guy or number 7 or 8 guy in that secondary would have been probably the best DB we had on our team. Like, Ron Brooks is a friend of mine. I mean, Ron Brooks would look like Darrell Revis in our secondary. I mean, and that's obviously hyperbole. Zy Alexander was really good this year at times. But, yeah, I don't know. So I wasn't able to watch the NFL game tonight. Obviously, it was a low-scoring game. 2 elite offenses, 9-6. But listen to this. No touchdowns in the game. Cooper Kupp drops 0 PPR points for the first time since 2019. He didn't have a catch. He didn't do anything. And I really like Zy Alexander was mostly very good for us. He had one rough game. That's it. 2 rough games. That's it. And if you're an outside corner and you only have 2 rough games, that means you're one of the better outside corners. That's how hard it is to play that position. Coy Moore's in the transfer portal. Hit the like button. I'm hitting the like button, Jared. It's not doing anything. But no, Cooper Kupp probably still had a good game, even though he didn't have any catches. Yeah, I know he had some good blocks. But there you go. Now, that'll do it for me. But I appreciate it. I've gotten so many messages just from you guys watching. Thank you guys so much. Once again, I do not know what the next week or so of content looks like. We'll deal with everything as a family. But honestly, appreciate all the positive vibes. I know a lot of you are very religious. Pray for me. And we'll see you next time. I'm still going to release some pre-recorded videos. So be on the lookout for those. It might come at erratic times. It might come at like 2 a.m. Let's see. From a Florida friend. Yeah, okay. So, Peggy, I'll address this as well. One thing that is happening, right, we tend to think of these offers is like all of these offers are just real offers. Not every offer is a real offer. All right. So let's say I'm a coach and through back channels, I were to reach out to you, but I really had no interest in coming after you. Okay. Well, the truth here is you could be raising an offer just to make the other school match the offer so they could spend more money on you. If that makes sense. There's so much cat and mouse kind of stuff going on. Now, the next thing, okay, and I think I had an hour-long conversation with someone who's really well connected in college athletics this morning. I do think the first team to bring in ownership will be ahead of the curve. If everything is starting to look like the NFL, well, every NFL team has an owner. I think we will start to see that. Ownership groups that are interested in buying teams. Now, how would that revenue structure look like? Does the owner get the money? I know we all know a lot of ticket revenue goes to subsidize all the other sports. How does any of that look? How much is an actual deal for a team? I do think that that's coming. I do. Now, I understand that's going to make a lot of people feel uncomfortable. But y'all, Bill Belichick is coaching college football. None of this makes sense. None of this. So what do I mean by ownership? Well, just some billionaire offers $30 million for ownership of a team. So you're telling me that that wouldn't make Todd Graves be the guy for LSU or someone like that? And you be known as the owner? Now, obviously, there would need to be all kinds of rules and legislation. And I don't think Todd Graves would do it because, you know, he gives to LSU. That's not what I'm saying at all. But he's got NIL deals with athletes at all schools. Congratulations to Jared's middle daughter graduating from University of South Alabama. But I think that's going to play a role. So, yeah. What a day. Last thing. If you don't believe the single-digit number thing is a real thing, I tweeted this out earlier today, and I'll say it again here. Don't wear a single-digit if you're not going to make plays. Now, had someone say, well, you're really touching the tough subjects. Y'all, these single-digit numbers not only a real thing, it's one of the biggest things on every team. Why is it that every single time a player has a chance to go get a single digit, they do it? It's any single digit. It's the aesthetic. We had so many single digits on non-playmakers last year. And the funny thing about that is we have two single-digit numbers that are kind of quasi-retired, right? Jaden Daniels' number 5 wasn't worn, and Joe Burrow's number 9 wasn't worn last year. And nobody really wears number 7. All right, Will Campbell did, but we hand it out. You have to earn it. And we still had 9 playmakers in single digits. Let's go get some dogs and put them in those jersey numbers. Y'all think it's not a thing. It's a thing. Brayden Swenson wore number 13. Right when Harold Perkins went from 4 to 7, Swenson immediately went to number 4. Put our playmakers in those jerseys. It is. Pow. Ow. LSU. Boom. There you go, John. Yeah. But I was saying, as far as if I'm an owner and I'm buying a team, I don't know, how would that? Because, you know, if I'm the owner of the Patriots, I'm only funding the Patriots. And tonight we are doing Salmon. Let's go. Let's go.